Moral Revolution community, welcome back to our podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. Let's talk about it.
Hey, let's talk about it, listeners. Cole and Kate here, and today we are jumping into part two of our Truth Is series. Today is all about the truth is biblical. Part one, if you haven't listened to it yet, then go back and listen to it because it'll be a good opener. It was The Truth is Unchanging, where we just broke down and talked about how in the current state of our culture, we're really living in the time that 2 Timothy talks about, where we're surrounding ourselves with teachers that tell us what our itching ears want to hear, and that the truth is constantly changing because it's based on our feelings and our selfish desires and what can God do for me and give to me and what's politically correct and am I allowed to actually say this to people, because our biblical worldview has gotten broken down. And so today we're going to dive more in to what does it mean to say the truth is biblical, and what is, we actually asked in the last one too, as an assessment of what is your level of desensitization to the fact that truth is biblical. Like, where has your truth actually been, like, your Instagram biblical versus what the word of God that's alive and active is actually saying?
Yep. Yeah, that's it. So in this topic today, we're going to jump right into it. We've got some statistics, some shocking statistics, in my opinion. And I want to start and preface with this. Humans are intriguing in a lot of ways. God made us different than he made every other animal. He actually made your brains to actively learn and to consume information and then use that information to become the basis of your second nature thinking, your subconscious thinking. We're not instinctive by nature. Most of, like, humans aren't instinctive by nature. Every other species lives a lot off of instinct. We live a lot off of experience and what we're taught, which means when I am consuming information, my subconscious brain is actually grabbing that information, filing it away, and creating my belief system. And I'm not even consciously aware this is going on. What I expect out of this same type of environment is based on what I expected out of it last time I was here. Mm-hmm. So if you were somebody that did good in high school, you walk into your first college class, you expect it to go well. If school was a struggle for you in high school, you go into your first college class, anxiety, stress, feeling like I'm never going to get all my homework done, I'll always be behind. You have this expectation based on your past experiences. It's because of the nature of the way that God designed us. He gave us free will. Well, in order to give us free will, he couldn't make us based on instinct. Mm. He had to make it our lives based on our ability to choose. But then what our brain is doing, is it's taking those choices and it's trying to reciprocate them so that we can efficiently get to the accomplishment of the tasks that are in front of us. It's really important to set this precedent as we start this conversation. Because of the nature of us being a primarily learned species, meaning that our behaviors are based on learned experiences that we see, we're taught, or we actually experience ourselves, for our brain to then say, okay, now that we know what this is, I'm going to turn this into second nature so that you can do this without having to think next time. That means that we are trained by what we're entertained by.
Yeah.
It means that what we spend the majority of our time consuming ultimately becomes the basis of our belief system, our thinking process, our biblical theology, our world theology, our human theology. All of the way that we see the world is primarily based on what we allow ourselves to consume, and much of it subconscious.
And I think what is asking yourself, what has been your experience with the Bible? Because then you might be hearing what we're even talking about today through a crazy lens. You're like, oh, it's biblical. That's like the book that I never opened that my grandma gave me.
Yeah.
Or that's like the people that are hitting you over the head with the Bible, acting like they're holier than thou, and they're quoting scripture at you in this crude and rude and awful way, even though it's scripture. They're just making it so shameful. Or it's like, oh yeah, I just feel guilt and shame because I know I should. There's lots of shoulds attached to it, and I'm not doing good enough. So, oh, you're saying this, and I'm like, I don't even know. Or you feel like overwhelmed. You're like, that's a lot of words that I don't even know where to start. Like, there's rape, there's murder, they're telling me not to do this, to do this. There's lots of contradictions that I'm like, wait, are we supposed to say this or are we not supposed to? So you just might be like, it's an overwhelming book that I don't know. We're not even supposed to interpret. Yeah, where do I start with this? Or for me, becoming a believer a little bit later after not knowing anything, And having a Catholic upbringing where, in my experience, was more like there were Bibles under all of our chairs in Catholic school, but you literally didn't touch them. And I remember the first time ever after taking a test, I don't know if your schools were like this, where you had to like pack your backpacks like against the wall when you came in the room because they didn't want people cheating and bringing in stuff. So when you were done with the test, all you had was the Bible under your chair. And I remember one time I was like so bored, I'm like, I'm going to grab this and open it. And I'll never forget opening it to Proverbs and just starting to read some of it. And I remember thinking, this is so good. Why don't we read this? Like, these are, back then it was AOL profiles. And I was like, I'm going to put this as my personal quote on my profile. Like, this is so good. And so it's like, some of us don't even know how powerful it is.
Yeah.
But then coming into an experience where I fell in love with the Word of God, and I was staying up late at night in my bedroom, not going to sleep because I'm just eating the Word of God. You know, it's supposed to be our daily bread. Like, give us our daily bread. It's the Word of God that we're eating that's sustaining us. That's the foundation for the truth, for the learned experiences. And are we consuming it? So also just ask yourself, wow, yeah, when I hear something is biblical, do I just think that's like some holier than thou self-righteous thing? Or am I actually in love with and desiring and consuming the Word of God?
Statistics say no, you're not. So the reason that we go this route and we're having this conversation that the truth is unchanging, or the truth is biblical, rather, in this particular session or podcast, is we have to take a second and consider the source. What have been the primary sources of your current belief system today as you're listening to this and hearing this? Whether you believe it or realize it or understand it or not, what is going on is that you're consuming information on a daily basis. That information is being grabbed onto by your subconscious, and your core belief systems are being built on that information. So you then have to ask, where am I spending the majority of my time? What information am I spending the majority of my time consuming? Am I spending more time on social media looking at other people's opinions of what's right and wrong? Or am I in the Word of God making sure that my belief is built and based on biblical truth? Do I actually believe somebody that has unwanted same-sex attraction could change? If I spent all my time on social media, the answer to that would surely be no way. And actually, it would be toxic to even propose such a thing. If I spend time in the Word of God, I realize, wow, He can change anybody. He can redeem any situation. He can bring healing to anybody. So my entire belief of what's possible changes based on what I'm consuming and what I've allowed to be the basis of my thinking process. Yep. So I want to talk through some stats. There was a study done by techjury.com where they were trying to unpack current, this is 2022, cell phone mobile device usage for Americans.
Okay.
And it's pretty scary. Because when you think about what you're doing on your phone, now, am I using Bible app? Sure, sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, more times than not, I get on and I'm a couple days behind, if not more, on my Bible reading plan. And I think a lot of people are in that same spot, right? Mm-hmm. The reality of it is, here's my flow, is I find myself, oh man, I've just scrolled on Instagram, ESPN, and then all of a sudden I'm like, gosh, I look at my little screen time alert, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's humiliating. I delete Instagram and I delete ESPN.com for like 2 weeks so I can make myself feel better about how much time I just spent on my phone that I wish I wouldn't have spent.
Yeah.
Unharmful. That's not like I'm looking at sports. I'm watching golden retriever videos on Instagram. It's not like I'm, me personally, that I'm necessarily consuming.
Right, you might be looking at recipes or fitness. It's not.
But
that
what
it's
I'm
all
doing is
negative.
I'm filling my belief system, my mental focus, on neutral, even if it's neutral ideas and beliefs and concepts. I'm not making sure I have a foundation of truth. Again, the truth being biblical, we have to consider that. So listen to this. Okay, a couple things. Most mobile phone users check their phones up to 63 times daily. 63 times. So we're only, I mean, if you get 8 hours of sleep, let's hope that you get 8 hours of sleep.
Yep.
Okay? That means you're awake for 16 hours. That means you're checking your phone every 15 minutes.
That's insane.
Every 15 minutes, your phone is being checked.
Wow.
It actually be like 16 or 17 minutes if you divide it exactly. Yeah, but we're just would round it to 15 minutes. Every 15 minutes, you are so important that your phone has to be checked every 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, and you can totally, everybody can relate with this. There's so many habits around it where you realize you're like, do. You're going to the same little things. And you're like, how did I get here? What am I even doing? Why do I care right now? Yeah. You could be in the middle of a conversation face to face with a person that you really care about. And yet you're like, wow. And I just opened that app. What am I doing? You know,
yep.
We're so used to, and now even multitasking, thinking, oh, I'm going to play this game while I watch this show. So you have multiple screens at a time happening.
Yeah, exactly. So then you go, you want to know the average American's daily mobile phone usage,
mm-hmm.
5.4 hours. 5.4 hours of the 16 hours we're awake, that's a third of our day, is being spent on our mobile phone device. Get ready for this one, though. Millennials, our generation, 13% of millennials spend 12 hours a day on their phones. 12 hours a day on their phone. Now, we don't know what that is being used for.
Yeah, it might be work for some
people. Who knows? So I don't want to jump to that. Baby boomers spend 5 hours a day using their phones. And social media is responsible for 2.5 hours of the global internet time on people's phones. So Facebook, that Instagram,
sounds right.
Whatever. 2.5 hours in a 24-hour period sounds right. But my question is, what we're doing right now is we're already doing what we talked about, is we're using human experience to determine what's okay in that realm. If you were to tell me 5 years ago, you're going to spend 2.5 hours a day on Instagram, I would say, what a waste of my time. Was there nothing I could learn? Was there nothing I could perfect? Was there nothing I could try to master? Was
Somebody
there nothing
I
could try to get better at? Was there no one why would I spend 2.5 hours looking at other people's posts? That's not going to happen. No, I have too much focus on what I want to accomplish, who I want to be, who I want to help to give that much time. And yet here we sit thinking, oh, let's just be honest, 2.5 hours? That seems about right. That's not that much.
It's crazy.
It's a scary thought. And then if you compare it to, I would then ask, okay, so if that's true, if you find that to be relatively true for you, those numbers, if those feel like they're relatively accurate.
And if you're not sure, you should go check your
apps. If you're not sure, go check. How much time of your day is spent focused on biblically based concepts drawing you closer to God?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm talking to Christians. If you're not a Christian, you're watching this, it's a little bit different. For you can equate it to something else. But for Christians, I would then say, how much of your time have you spent in the Word of God? The average person isn't reading the Word of God that much. So here's some more astounding stats. So the American Bible Society has done a State of the Bible report for the last 12 years in a row. And what they do is, it is an in-depth study of biblical literacy in America. How many people are reading the Bible? How often are they reading the Bible? When they are reading the Bible, are they engaging it? Do they feel like they're actually learning it, applying it? Does it actually feel like it's becoming a part of their everyday life, or are they doing it as a robot? I mean, the depth, it's a 240-page report on the biblical literacy in America. And I want to just read through a couple of the data points. Because when you consider them in contrast to phone and internet usage, becomes pretty scary. Only 10% of Americans report daily Bible reading. Only 10% of Americans report that they actually read the Bible on a daily basis. Now, can we go back up for a second? 13% of millennials spend over 12 hours a day on their phone.
Oh, my goodness.
Think of that. Last year, 2021 to 2022, this current year that we're ending right now, saw the largest drop in Bible reading in American history since they've done this back to 2011. Every year, the percentage of Americans that read their Bible, and the clarification is Bible users are defined as those who use the Bible at least 3 to 4 times each year on their own.
What?
Let me reread it. Bible, and finish the statement. Bible users are defined as those who use the Bible at least 3 to 4 times each year on their own outside of a church setting. Not 3 to 4 times a day, not 3 to 4 times a week.
That's a Bible user. That's the standard.
The standard for a Bible user is 3 to 4 times a year on your own outside of a church setting.
And that's only 10%.
No, that's not. That's a different stat. So track with me here for a second. Okay. 10% was daily Bible users.
Got it. Okay.
This is now the percentage of Americans that use the that read the Bible 3 to 4 times a year outside of a church setting.
Okay.
It has hovered around 50% since 2011, since they started this report. Okay. About half of America has read the Bible 3 to 4 times a year on their own without being in a church service.
Okay.
2021 to 2022 dropped by 11%. 2022... the year that we're currently ending, 26 million less Americans read the Bible 3 to 4 times this year on their own.
Wow.
It is the steepest drop in the history of the state of the Bible reportings by the American Bible Society. It has never dropped by this much. So they have dove into why, what is going on.
Right.
And what they say is COVID built the habit of being social media addicted and internet addicted.
Wow.
And so now people are reading the Bible less than they ever have.
Oof.
This is a big problem if you believe that the Bible and that truth is biblical.
Yeah.
Which I do.
Agreed.
The thing that we don't necessarily understand or realize is, you know, I want to talk about a couple things then on the Bible being truth. A lot of people would have this mindset of, well, science contradicts parts of the Bible. Geological discoveries contradict parts of the Bible. All of these try to point to different things. And I would say, first of all, a large portion of those are unfounded, untruthful statements based on a sliver of truth that was never peer-reviewed, that was never actually studied, that they never really unpacked it. And then the next thing I would say is if science seems to contradict Scripture, then science is incomplete, not Scripture.
Hmm.
Carolyn Leaf, a leading neuroscientist, one of the statements that she has made that we have talked about for years is that science is finally catching up with the Bible. Meaning that scientific discoveries are limited to human intelligence,
mm-hmm.
whereas biblical truth is limitless because it's attached to God's intelligence.
Yeah.
As he inspired Scripture, that means that there is no limit to the ability for this to be true, whereas science, geological discovery, human philosophy are all bound by our human's ability, by the human, our species' ability to uncover and discover science and geology, which we all know is very, very limited. We have yet to understand even our own ocean, let alone space, or all of the anatomy of the human body. There is still so much left to be discovered because of how limited our brain's capacity is. So the thing that we need to understand that I want to declare and that I want you to hear, if science or a geological discovery or a human philosophical belief system seems to contradict biblical truth, then that means that science, that geological discovery, or that human philosophy is incomplete and unfinished. It means that we have yet, with the limitations on the human mind, to fully discover or understand that concept, because science that is fully understood cannot contradict biblical truth. Geology that is fully discovered cannot contradict biblical truth, because the Bible is truth. Truth is Bible. The truth is biblical. I want to read this in John. This is a huge moment in chapter John. Sorry, babe. I know I'm getting riled
up
and you're not getting to talk much. Just jump in, babe. There's a really key moment. After Jesus forgives the adulterous woman, And then a dispute breaks out about who Jesus is, and the Pharisees are talking about who he is, and they're arguing about him. And here's what he says to them, and they're trying to kill him. They're starting to plot to kill him. This is John chapter 8. We're going to read a pretty decent portion of scripture starting in verse 31. It says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, then you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples. The question I would ask to you before we get any further into this scripture, have you made sure to format the 24 hours you're given every day to ensure that you're holding to his teaching? Or have you carelessly, accidentally, and maybe even without intention, but frivolously allowed your mind to drift to other teachings that have become the foundation for your belief system? Because if you don't intentionally hold to his teaching, you will accidentally fall away from it. Mm-hmm. You cannot, in this culture, accidentally hold to the teaching of the Word of God as your basis for truth, because there is just too many contradictory messages that are packaged and disseminated in too many different formats that are entertaining, that are exciting, that are fun, that are ultimately creating our educational basis for what we believe. So if you have not committed in your heart to hold to his teaching and done so intentionally, then I would tell you that your current belief system is probably built on convenience, not fact. Mm-hmm. Whatever is conveniently the easiest to get to information-wise is most likely what is the basis of what you believe.
Yep. The truth is so foreign because the lies are so familiar. It's easy. The lies are bombarding us every day.
They're free.
You have to be super intentional to go
after
the truth.
They're free. They're available. They are packaged with a spoonful of sugar. Mm-hmm. They are coated with candy. They're easy to eat and to chew and to swallow so that we don't have to do any work to grab onto those.
Yep.
That's why he gives us instruction.
Yep.
If you hold on to my teaching, then you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
So you're either being discipled by culture or by Christ, ultimately.
Man, what a big question to have to ask. And I think that for Christians, well-intentioned Christians, if we wake up and become aware of what we're being discipled by, I think a lot of us will realize we have somehow slipped accidentally into being discipled by culture. Mm-hmm. Because what you consume is ultimately what disciples you.
Yeah.
Have you accidentally slipped into a place of being discipled by cultural belief over biblical truth?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we even just think, oh, I've read the Bible. I know what it says. We forget about the part of it being alive and active, and how it's that new, fresh revelation of what the Holy Spirit shows you each and every day.
The reality of it is, if only 10% of Americans are reading the Bible every day, it's most likely that your memory of Bible verses is a skewed, manipulated, warped version of that.
Yeah.
Within 7 days, they've studied this, a human's ability to remember. Within 7 days, you can only remember 50% of an actual experience you lived through.
Whoa.
Where your facts begin to get convoluted and the emotions that you felt over their 7 days start to cloud the actual facts of that event. And that's an actual experience, not something you've read.
Wow.
So if only 10% of Americans are reading the Bible daily, that means the majority of us are trying to go on biblical memory rather than biblical truth.
Wow.
And then we're taking that biblical memory, we're trying to apply that to our current situation and hope that we quoted the scripture right in our subconscious to make the right decision as we're trying to decide what to do next in our life. Not a great place to be if we really actually believe the Bible is true. So verse 33, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're looking for a way to kill me. Yet you look for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. Because you have no room for my word. Guys, this is so convicting. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your Father. Oh, this was a big statement that he made to them. I mean, this was a statement that he risked death instantly right there on the spot. He just told the Pharisees, I'm doing what my Father told me, and you're listening to your Father. Abraham is our father, they answered. Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. Now they exclaim, we're not illegitimate children. The only father we have is God himself. And Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own, but God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Yet because I tell you the truth, I'm going to go back to verse 45. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? When he lies, he speaks the native language. The question that you have got to ask yourself, am I truthfully being discipled by Jesus, or have I allowed myself to slip into a place where I'm being more discipled by a cult, by culture, than I am the Word of God? Mm-hmm. Signs of this would be that you, any type of pastor, leader, parent that wants to push or encourage or challenge you to live by the Word of God, you have labeled as outdated, archaic, mm-hmm. unadapted to the times, old school, irrelevant. Mm-hmm. That would be a sign that perhaps I've slipped into a place where I'm being discipled by culture, which means, oh, am I becoming an illegitimate child? He was talking to the religious leaders here. These were people that considered themselves to be of the highest religious order. This wasn't a conversation with lost people. This is a conversation in a moment for the church. Have you refused discipleship from the Word of God and from the religious leaders, mm-hmm. the people that God has placed in your life? And have you slipped into a place of being discipled as an illegitimate child, where I now am no longer being discipled by this? I'm looking at these verses and I'm trying to figure out ways to make the Bible fit my current belief system. What he's saying here is, you don't know, you can't hear what I'm saying anymore because you've become numb to my voice. You have positioned your ears to only hear what your father is speaking, which you've become a father of culture rather, or you become a son or a daughter of culture rather than a son or daughter of God.
Yep.
And that's based on what we're positioning our hearts to believe, our ears to hear, and our minds to perceive and to grab onto. It's a very scary place to be.
So wrapping up, the truth is biblical. Another scripture that comes to mind, again from 2 Timothy, is there's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So are you a disciple of culture, a disciple of Christ? There's nothing like the word of God to show you how to be a disciple of Christ. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way, because through the word we are put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, I want to encourage you, or even challenge you, do an inventory of the way you spend your time and the way you spend your thought life. Look at your screen time and then compare that to your time in the Word of God, your time choosing to be discipled by pastors, by leaders, to be engaged in the things of God. When you actually look at that, and then be honest with yourself, have I begun to slip into becoming a child of the culture rather than a child of God? Am I at a place where I'm being discipled by culture rather than being discipled by God, and then come up with an action plan of what you're going to do to shift and to change. Do you fall into that group of 26 million Americans who's no longer consuming the Word of God? How do we change this? The last thing I would ask you to do is to consider a year-end donation to Moral Revolution. You know, we're in the middle of a season where for these next 6 months, we are declaring in every facet of what we do what truth is. As we have found that culture is falling away from truth, we are moving towards it. We're sprinting towards a declaration that the truth is unchanging, the truth is biblical, the truth is freedom, the truth is beautiful, and we're asking you to partner with us. We create content on a daily and a weekly basis that is centered on this mission. That is to declare truth, whether it's our podcasts, our social media posts, our blogs, our resources that we create, our e-courses, or the traveling and the speaking and the events that we do throughout the world. Everywhere we go, we are trying to declare from the rooftops with boldness and with courage. Guys, the truth is this. This is what God has said. This is why it's better to live this way. Mm-hmm. And if we haven't been living out the truth, here's how we graciously come back to a place of redemption with the power and the love and the Word of God. As we close out 2022, would you consider making a year-end donation to help us with this mission of declaring what truth is? Would you consider a reoccurring gift or a one-time gift to help us accomplish this? Would you give a gift that matches our passion to bring this declaration of truth to the nations? We're reaching nations in every podcast that we create. We have 5 different languages that we create content for. A lot of our online, any of our online content and our online conferences, we see 45% international viewership with what we create and even these podcasts. We are truly reaching the nations with this truth. We impact 27,000 people a day through social media, 350,000 people a month through the various portals at Moral Revolution. And your donation, your gift goes to help us reach those people. Every time we reach a kid, that we prevent that child from looking at porn through our Porn is Lying campaign, that child's safety and the protection of that mind is because of you and your partnership. Every marriage that's recovered through our Recovering Your Marriage course is because of the partnership that you choose to give. The marriages that are saved, the porn that is prevented, the healing that is brought, the lives that are changed is because of the partnerships that you're willing to make. Would you go to thetruthiscampaign.com right now and consider giving a year-end gift and even consider giving a reoccurring gift for the year of 2023 to help fund the truth is as we declare it to the nations across the world. Thanks for being a part of the Moral Revolution community. Share this podcast. Challenge your friends. We have to get back to the biblical belief for truth in America today.
Thank you guys for listening. If you want to learn more and check out all of our awesome content, be sure to head to our website at moralrevolution.com and our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. But before you leave, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, all of the things. We want you guys to come back and join us. We enjoyed having you. See you next time.